Well, once again, Merry Christmas. Our scripture this afternoon comes from Matthew chapter 1. Please follow along as I read starting in verse 18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Jesus, or to Joseph, wow, I'm really struggling. Before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Take a seat. Let me start with a question this Christmas Eve. What is the thing you are most afraid of right now that no one else knows about? I'm not talking about the polite fear. I'm not talking about I'm a little stressed and overwhelmed by Christmas shopping fear. I'm not even talking about Cousin Eddie from Christmas Vacation is coming to stay with me fear. I mean the real one. The one that shows up at 2:47 in the morning when your phone is face down and your thoughts are loud. The fear about your child, your marriage, your health, your finances. The fear of something in your life that feels out of control. We're good at hiding fear. We're good at dressing it up. We call it different things. We call it being realistic, or being cautious, or being prepared. But let's be honest, we're not cautious. We're all just scared. And Christmas Eve is a funny thing about that. Because on the outside, everything looks good. The kids are dressed up better than usual today. They actually worked with you today. Maybe on the way here, there was a fight in the car. Somebody yelled at someone else, but everybody in the family agreed, we're not going to talk about it. We're just going to show up. Everybody shows up to Christmas Eve happy. We're going to be happy. So you came through the doors smiling. But you know your soul is limping. We've been in a sermon series throughout the month of December called Fear Not. We've been looking at the various Christmas character stories and how each of them, God had to come to them in their moments of darkness and their moments of fear, just like us, and say, fear not. Not as a command to get it all together, but an invitation. Fear not. The simple reality is they are scared in the Christmas story just like we are. And fear has a way of sneaking up on us, doesn't it? Fear sounds like, what if I mess this up? What if this doesn't change? What if I end up all alone? What if God is disappointed in me? Some of us are afraid of very big things, and some of us, they're actually very small things, but they feel enormous at 3 a.m. And here's the strange thing about fear. It doesn't need facts. It doesn't need permission. It just needs silence. I read once that fear grows best in the dark, which explains why fear is always stronger at night, because at night we slow down, we stop scrolling, we stop running, we stop numbing, and suddenly fear has room to talk. Fear likes to get our attention. Now, before you think, wow, Tyler, this is kind of heavy to begin Christmas Eve, let me reassure you, this sermon is not about how afraid you are. It's about why you don't have to be. Because Matthew tells us something stunning and unbelievable, something that's become so familiar to us, we lose the reality of how disruptive it is. Not that God sent help. Not that God sent answers, not that God sent instructions, but God sent himself. Matthew tells us that the child will be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. Not God above us, not God disappointed us, not God waiting on you to get your act together, but God with us. Which means if God is with us, fear doesn't get the final word. That's why the title of our message this Christmas Eve is Fear Not. Fear Not. God is with us. Not fear not, everything will work out. Not fear not, you'll understand everything someday. Not fear not, life will be easy, but fear not, God is with you. And if that's true, that means Christmas is a holiday filled with more than presents, chestnuts roasting on an open fire, and even Kevin McAllister. Christmas is a rescue. It's God stepping into human fear and saying, you are not alone in this anymore. So what does it actually mean that God is with us? What did it mean for Joseph? What did it mean in the ancient world? What does it mean for you right now when fear shows up in your life? Well, first we have to understand that fear feels strongest in the dark. There's something about darkness that magnifies fear. Things that feel manageable in the daytime suddenly become overwhelming at night. Questions that seem small at noon feel enormous at midnight. Problems that felt solvable during the day now at night feel permanent. And that's not a lack of faith. That is just how we are wired. Because darkness strips away our perspective. And the reason I know this is because of the number of Legos that I have stepped on in the dark. There is a jolt to your nervous system when the hard plastic of a Lego is underneath your feet. Darkness takes away our reference points. It leaves us alone with our thoughts, and our thoughts are not always kind to us. That's why fear often waits until the lights go out. And Matthew begins the Christmas story not with peace, but with fear, because that's where God so often meets us. Joseph's world has gone dark. The future he imagined no longer makes sense. The story he thought he was living in no longer fits. And that's where fear speaks the loudest. Marilynne Robinson captures this beautiful human experience in her novel, Gilead, the story of an aging pastor named John Ames who reflects on life, and he admits this quote, "It's strange how you never quite get used to the world at night," end quote. That line resonates because we know it's true. We never quite get used to the world at night. Night exposes what the daytime distractions keep hidden. Ames goes on to say this: there's a lot under the surface of life. A lot of malice and dread and guilt and so much loneliness where you wouldn't really expect to find it. That's exactly what darkness does. It pulls what's under the surface up into our awareness. Fear rarely is about what's right in front of us. It's about what's underneath what's right in front of us, what drives us. And Joseph and Mary, they've been showing us how fear gets our attention in the darkness, because we live in a world with a gap between what we know and what we wish we knew. What Matthew's original readers would have recognized immediately is that God's redemptive work always begins in disorientation. Throughout Israel's story, darkness is the place where God's promises feel the most fragile. Isaiah the prophet speaks of a people who are walking in darkness. The Psalms speak of a people walking in valleys with shadows. The prophets declare that people are waiting without clarity. Waiting. That's the Christmas story. Joseph doesn't know what he's waiting for. He just knows he's waiting in the dark, and faith is always commitment without certainty. Waiting. Theologian Jonathan Gibson said it well to name our longing. He said this: as early as Eden, God's people have been a waiting people. Do you feel that inside of you? Waiting, hoping, longing. If you've been with us throughout the month of December, we've talked about that Christmas is much more than stockings and gifts. Christmas is a season to get really honest with God. What am I waiting for? What am I longing for? We have been waiting and longing for what? Or better asked, for who? That's our second reality. God enters the darkness. Here's the good news of Christmas. God does not stand at a safe distance from your fear. God does not offer encouragement at the edge of your pain. God does not wait for the darkness to clear before he comes near. God enters the darkness. Fear not. God is with you. Matthew tells us that all of this happened to fulfill what the prophet Isaiah spoke centuries earlier. This is what we read: "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. Not God above us, not God simply fixing things from afar, but God with us. That word "with" changes everything. It means God steps into our confusion. It means he shows up in our vulnerability. It means God is present before the fear is ever resolved. The incarnation is not a sentimental idea, but rather a theological stick of dynamite in the cleft of the rock. Matthew is intentionally echoing Isaiah 7:14 from the Old Testament, which was spoken in a time of political collapse, foreign invasion, and national fear. Israel was surrounded by their enemies, uncertain of its future, and tempted to seek security anywhere else other than God. And into that fear, into that darkness, Isaiah promises of all things a child. Not an army, not a strategy, not an escape plan. And Matthew says that that promise has now been fulfilled, not in power, but in vulnerability. God enters human darkness through a teenage girl's pregnancy, through a carpenter's obedience, through poverty, risk, and social rejection. The incarnation is God's declaration to you that no part of the human life is beneath his presence. God does not bypass our suffering, rather he inhabits it, which means when fear shows up in your life and in my life, we can know that God is already there. God enters the darkness to be with us. That's the heart of Christmas. God does not shout encouragement from heaven. He walks beside us in the dark. What does that mean for you? It means that God may not immediately remove what frightens you, but he promises his presence in the darkness with you. It means fear does not qualify you from faith. It means you don't have to be brave because you'll never be abandoned by him. And here's where the gospel becomes unmistakably clear. God didn't just enter the darkness of some weird and confusing teenage girl's pregnancy about 2,000 years ago. God entered the ultimate darkness. Jesus was born into fear so that one day he would walk into suffering, betrayal, injustice, and even death itself. Why? So that when you are afraid, you can know for certain you will never be alone. This is why the gospel of Jesus is good news. The gospel is not that fear disappears, it's that God steps into it, into your fear, into your worries, into the places you feel alone. Matthew begins his gospel by telling us Jesus is called Emmanuel, God with us, but if you follow Jesus' story to the end, you discover something even more astonishing. Later in Matthew's gospel on the cross, Jesus cries out and he says these words, my God, why have you forsaken me? That's darkness. Not metaphorical darkness, not emotional darkness, but actual darkness. Abandonment. Why would one called God with us experience God without him? Because only by entering the ultimate darkness of sin, judgment, and death could he ensure that no one who trusts in him would ever be alone again. At Christmas, God enters our fear. At the cross, he absorbs our fear. At the resurrection, he defeats our fear. Which means the gospel invitation this afternoon to you is not be less afraid, because I know you are. The gospel invitation is come to the one who entered fear for you. Come to the one who experienced the ultimate darkness for you, who allowed the darkness to crush him so that you could be lifted out, so that you could experience new life in him. And that invitation is the same whether you're a skeptic tonight, trusting in Jesus with your fear and your darkness for the first time, or this might be your 1,000th Christmas Eve service, which would mean you are very old. To receive the gospel is not to clean yourself up, it's to stop pretending you're not afraid. It's to finally say, I can't save myself this Christmas. I need Jesus to save me. I need his presence to steady me in the darkness of my life. You receive the gospel by trusting in him and who he is, not in your courage, but in his presence, not in the amount of your faith, but in his faithfulness for you. And when you do, when you make that decision to put your trust in Jesus, you can know this for certain. He says to you tonight, you will never be alone. In fact, the very end of Matthew's gospel, Jesus' final words we have recorded to us, the very final sentence in Matthew's gospel is a promise to you and to me. And this is what Jesus said. He said this, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. This is Emmanuel's promise to you. If you put your trust in him this Christmas as best as you're able, you won't be alone in the darkness anymore. Fear not. God is with you. It is true, we've been awaiting people. As I shared, we are a fearful people walking in darkness. We have shaky knees and racing hearts. But the Old Testament prophet Isaiah gave us a promise for us all to receive this Christmas. He said this, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone, for to us a child is born. To us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So here the invitation for you this Christmas Eve. Fear not. Fear not. Not because life makes sense, but because God is with us. This Christmas, come as you are to him. Trust the one who entered the darkness for you. Let every heart prepare him room. Merry Christmas. Let me pray for us. Emmanuel, God with us, you have entered our darkness and have brought your light. We bring you our fears, and we make room in our hearts for you again. As we receive your light tonight, remind us that we are not alone. That you are with us. The light has come. In Christ's name, we do pray. And everyone said, amen.